Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board. And what is this show about? It's sports. And at times I talk about the politics of this country and how it intersects with American sports. Well, I talk about sports from all around the world when it's suited, but mostly stay on topic with American media. And I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I was born and raised as a conservative Latino. I was a liberal. Always wanted to save the world. Then I had a reality check at a meeting, at a Young Democrats meeting in college when they started to play the skin color game. This was back in the 90s. I was freshman class president, and I was like, what the bleep? And that's when I realized I'm not a liberal. I believe in equality. I believe in working hard. And I believe in fairness, meritocracy. And that's what sports has always been about. And when politics started to rear its ugly head in sports, with a lot of minority players screaming, woe is me, yet they're in the top 1% of the country, I'm like, what is wrong here? And my upbringing comes from seeing two dictators in action, seeing family members, not myself, not my family, but family members, because I was an American citizen, but seeing my Panamanian family members under the thumb of two dictators. So I take politics seriously when I see bleeding heart liberals, who I used to be part of, just talking nonsense. And that includes in the sports world. Colin Kaepernick, open that door. Take a knee. Colin Kaepernick, multi-million-dollar contract. Please. Little secret, I was still covering the NFL at that time, and I made phone calls, and I had to reiterate, I'd ask, hold on, this isn't the Colin Kaepernick we knew, or no? He goes, no. Three of the people said, no, he's never been a leader, he's a follower, somebody's telling him to do these things, and he's doing them. And that extended to his last opportunity in the NFL when the Baltimore Ravens were going to give him a gig, and his wife called the Baltimore Ravens owner a racist. You see, Colin, look in the mirror. And the reason I bring Colin up right now is there is a note came out, or his girlfriend came out and said he's 37. He still wants another shot at the NFL. Man, that ship sailed about, oh, God, 8 years ago now, seven, eight years ago. And the die is cast, very rich man now. He's gotten rich off of other people in terms of other people's misery, creating miserable lives for other people. And go take your money, enjoy it, and have fun. And yes, I am a conservative, and that's where this perspective comes in. And I'm fair, very fair. I call strikes and balls, and too many times there's too many strikes to be called from my former plantation, for lack of a better word. And I say that because somebody was trying to tell me that's a racist term. I'm like, no. Plantation signifies from us minorities who left it. A party that wants to control you, that wants to indoctrinate you, that puts government before God. And if you leave it, you're a traitor not only to the party but to your own culture. And that's why I'm doing a lot of this fighting, a lot of this pushback. All right, we have got a great episode today. There's some late-breaking news before I went on the air. Shannon Sharp facing a $50 million lawsuit. You know, then I'm going to talk about Stephen A. Smith's presidential ambitions. And from there, once again, the story that won't die, the U.S. Department is now suing Maine over their transgenders, over Maine allowing boys to play in female sports. That's what that boils down to. Let's not sugarcoat it. And then we're going to talk about Nico Amaliova. I got his pronunciation somewhere around here. I'll get it right. And then we're going to go to the final whistle. So we have a heavy-duty show. So before we get going, though, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com. You can find this podcast there. You can find my political podcast on national topics, Fired Up. And as a Californian in a deep blue state, you can find my Fired Up California podcast. And being a man of all trades, I also have a cultural podcast, The Red, White, and Rude, where I talk entertainment, whether it's Hollywood, music, whatever. I talk about that in there. And all these podcasts have a political angle to them. So if you're a political junkie, I am the source to go to because I give you the straight scoop in terms of how it's being played out versus what the mainstream media or what my former party Democrats tell you. So let's get down to – oh, I'm sorry. Before I go on, if you listen to us on other platforms. If you have whether YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, or Pandora, you can follow us there or listen to us there under the media handle Grumblings Media or the profile handle Grumblings Media. All right, let us get to it. So on tap is Shannon Sharp facing a $50 million lawsuit over alleged rape and sexual assault. So last week it came out that Shannon Sharp is on the verge of signing a $100 million contract. You know, these out-of-this-world contracts for the numbers these guys are producing, it's crazy, you know, which gives me hope with this venture. I mean, like, their numbers are not unattainable. So I'm like, jack it up, boy. I love seeing these big contracts because it gives me hope for what we're doing here. But that said, you know, I find it ironic. You know, he comes out, the news comes out that he's on the verge of signing a $100 million contract one is coming down the road. I guess he has a current contract with Fox Fox. I forget the guy's show. I don't listen to him. He's a blowhard half the time. But he's going to be heading to ESPN, I have to guess, for a $150 contract with his Shay Shay. Probably something similar to what McAfee got. You know, the bottom line, though, here is on these contracts, McAfee still is the reigning king over there because of the diversity of his audience and what he brings to the table in terms of sponsors and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a different type of show. But that said, congrats to Shannon on getting that contract. Look, Shannon Sharp, whether you like him or not, he calls it like he sees it on both sides. So he's one of the analysts. I wouldn't call him straight up fair, but he tends to be the least biased out of all these athletes. But I do like him. I don't listen to him regularly, but I'll catch some shows. I won't catch shows. I'll catch snippets of his show, you know. But regardless, he's a Hall of Famer, NFL. He's currently an ESPN analyst, goes on First Take at times, 56 years old. He's accused of rape and sexual assault. And this lawsuit was filed in the Nevada State Court. And the plaintiff has been identified as Jane Doe, but he posted a tweet today. And he said her name is Gabriela Zuniga. And we're assuming that's her because of the text messages he released. Woo! Oh, that's some dandy stuff there. So, just to give you an idea, in a text message, I know you miss this big, juicy booty, and booty is not the word that he used, 25,000, 25K for each cheek. Damn, you go, girl. But in the court document, she's identified as Jane Doe. But the point is Sharp's coming out firing, but he may regret it if the courts rule that he should not have released her name. He may pay a price for that. I don't know. I have not stayed at a Holiday Inn recently, so I can't tell you my legal skills are rusty. But she alleges multiple instances of sexual assault over a nearly two-year rocky consensual relationship. And like I said, she's seeking $50 million. You know? And for those of you not aware, Sharp is a former NFL tight end, played 14 seasons with the Broncos and the Ravens, won 3 Super Bowls. He's a prominent media figure now. He's a star right now. He's seeking a 9-figure podcast deal. I don't know if he'll get it, but that's what he's seeking. But word on the street is he will. God bless you if you get it. You know, as I said earlier. So supposedly, Jane Doe, we'll keep calling her Jane Doe, met Sharp in January 2023. She met her at an LA gym. You know, he's a workout guy. You know, I'll be quite honest, at 56, how he looks, I'm like, ooh, makes you wonder what else he's putting in that diet, you know, and I'll leave it at that. But she was 20. So he's 56 now. That was 2 years ago. He was 54. I said, come on, dude, you're old enough to be her father. But that said, he's Shannon Sharp. He can do what he wants. So he allegedly pursued her aggressively through calls, texts, and demands to visit his Beverly Glen mansion. And the relationship was supposedly consensual, but he's described as controlling, verbally abusive, and he's demanding complete control over her time and body. You know, this isn't Sharp. That's just that type of male, men who have never been told no. That's a common storyline, and I know that from covering the game. You know, so I'm not saying it's good or bad, saying that doesn't shock me if that's how he is. This is all alleged. And both parties moved to Nevada separately in the summer of 2024. I find that too much to be a coincidence. You know, did she follow him? I don't know, but I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. Now, she attempted to distance herself from Sharp in September of 2024. After the Instagram Live incident where Sharp was like, yeah, oh, yeah, baby, yeah, give it to me, yeah, yeah. When he accidentally broadcast audio of a sexual encounter, which I personally don't think it was accidental. I think it's just he's got a big ego, wants to be seen in a certain way. But that's just my take, and I have no proof. That's just my take on it. So supposedly he confronted her, Jane Doe, at the apartment, forcibly raped her, and committed anal rape. Give me that booty. Twice. Give it to me again. I shouldn't be laughing. I'm just mocking this. It's just so out of this world. Again, my initial take is it will come as no surprise. It's like $100 million deal starts to make the rumor columns, and boom, the following day, it's a $50 million lawsuit. So in January, this past January, Sharp visited Doe's apartment under the pretense of delivering the combined Christmas and birthday gift. He allegedly raped her again, refusing to wear a condom, despite objections, and ignored her request to stop. Stop. I don't know. I'll be honest. I'm just finding this hard to believe. A consensual relationship after 2 years? And no, I'm not mocking her. Rape is a serious offense, et cetera, et cetera. But I've had it with the Me Too crap, where there is no proof. A woman just makes a statement, and boom, he's guilty. We've seen men's lives destroyed. And then I remember when this model came out, talked about this woman abusing her. All of a sudden, all these Me Too supporters, you must believe the women, came out and said, well, we need to wait for the evidence. We need to wait for the evidence. Well, what happened to believing the victim? We see how that worked. So, no. I am not a Me Too proponent, only because Me Too proponents want to accuse and destroy. No. You accuse, make sure there's evidence to back it up. It has nothing to do with gender as much as to do with due process. And yes, for those wondering, Abrego Garcia had due process. I had a podcast and I fired up with a lawyer, and we talked about the due process. Abrego Garcia, the MS-13 member. And I say MS-13 member because two judges ruled he's an MS-13 member. It's nonsense, due process. You hear from Greens, Democrats, mainstream media, and libertarians. Like, go jump in a lake with your nonsense. Doe also alleges that Sharp recorded their sexual encounters without her consent and shared the recordings with others. In one incident, Sharp allegedly threatened to kill Doe when he caught her trying to share her location with friends for safety, grabbing her by the neck and saying, quote, if you ever do that again, I will bleep and kill you, unquote. The bleeping part, you know what you can put in there. So the lawsuit also claims Sharp berated Doe in a room with a visible firearm. Come here, woman. this is so mind-blowing. This is so out of character with Sharp. Never have I heard of a woman complaining Sharp, and I cover Sharp throughout his whole career. So the lawsuit is represented by high-profile attorney Tony Busby. Tony Busby has been spot on with some of his clients. He's been 1,000 degrees off on others. He's represented people against Sean Diddy Combs and Deshaun Watson. So he goes, quote, I'm extremely proud to represent Jane Doe. It takes a great deal of courage to stand up against those with power, fame, and money, unquote. I think they're looking for a payout here. So, Sharp has not publicly responded to this when I was researching the story, but he actually has responded. And let me share you what he has responded with. Do I have this here? Here we go. Statement by Lanny J. Davis, counsel to Shannon Sharp. I want you to put a dog collar around my neck and choke me with it while you're bleeping me, unquote. Gabriela Zuniga in a text message to Shannon Sharp, October 7th, 2023. Now, in her defense, now, in full transparency, that was early on in the relationship. You know, they're still in the puppy love phase. You know? And then, quote, I know you miss this big, juicy booty. Fill in the proper word there. $25K for each cheek. Woo! Unquote. That's a high price cheeks. Some high price cheeks. Top of the line.
top-tier quality.
Gabriela Zuniga in a text message, Shannon Sharp, 1-1-2025. So they say it's a blatant and cynical attempt to shake down Mr. Sharp for millions of dollars. It is filled with lies, distortions, and misrepresentations, and it will not succeed. Look, unless she has proof. You know, so now she's looking for a big-time settlement. Ms. Zuniga presented Sharp with a secretly recorded video of a consensual sexual encounter. You know, full transparency, Sharp can't be complaining about that. Shut your trap, Shannon, because you were broadcasting some live action there. So don't be acting down the road of, well, you shouldn't be doing that. I don't want to hear none of that. You know? And now, this is what gets me, though, from Lanny Davis. We believe, they don't state as we know or we're stating, that we believe the video has been heavily edited and taken entirely out of context to falsely portray a consensual act as non-consensual. Well, they may have a point there. Ms. Zuniga has refused to provide a copy of the full unedited version. Maybe the courts can get that. I don't know. So, yeah. It was a consensual. I mean, you don't send that. I know you, Mrs. Big Juicy Booty. I want you to put a dog collar around my neck and choke me. You know, those women are crazy. Yeah. You're like, choke you. You high? Choke me. Then they go harder. You're like, I want to kill you, you know? And choke me with it while you're bleeping me. It sounds like a wild woman. Oh, man. Talking about the sexual encounters, in many cases initiated by her with specific and graphic requests. We call these women freaks when I was younger. Contrary to the allegations she makes in her lawsuit, consensual sex continued until January 2nd, 2025, the day after she asked for $25,000 per cheek. $25,000 per cheek. Hold on, we got another one here. I did not see this one. Only if you put that baby gravy in me, then I can do whatever I want to me. Oh. Sorry, I'm not going to read that one. You better crave it because you're going to be stuck with it for life after you put a big black baby in me. Woo. Lenny Davis goes on to say, the evidence paints a clear picture. This was a consensual adult relationship that included role-playing, sexual language, and fantasy scenarios explicitly requested by Ms. Zuniga. Wow. Wow. Mr. Sharp now believes her secret taping was all part of her planned setup as part of her blackmail scheme, as distorted by her edited tape, a copy of which she refused to make available to Mr. Sharp or his counsel. Mr. Sharp categorically denies all allegations of coercion or misconduct, especially the gross lie of, quote, rape, unquote. So Shannon is fighting back. I got to be honest. We don't know who's right, who's wrong here, but if I had to put money down on it, it would be on Shannon. Where's the police report? Did she go to the cops? Now, let's full transparency. In 2010, Sharp faced a restraining order from a woman who claimed he forced her to have sex, leading to a temporary setback from CBS's football pregame show. So I stand corrected. Yeah. Well, I had actually stopped covering the NFL on a full-time basis in 2010. In 2006, we sold the company. At that point, my duties became more business development and business related than being the part of the people who were the face of the company. So, okay. And I covered his playing career. Okay. Whoa, I stand corrected, my friends. Between 1994 and 2004, Sharp was involved in 10 civil court cases in Fulton County, Georgia, with three women. Maybe so. It's not that I have selective memory. I'll be honest, I completely forgot. But come on, man. Come on. I mean, how do you get past? I know you miss this big, juicy booty. $25,000 for each cheek. But on the flip side, involved in 10 civil court cases, three women, 2010 restraining order, maybe Mr. Sharp is not as innocent as I think. And I am rushing to judgment. So I need to rail on back here and not be as harsh on Gabriela Zuniga. Doe left Nevada temporarily to escape Sharp and is now seeking justice through the lawsuit. If she's seeking justice, don't you think she'd go to a cop? No, she's seeking cash. 50 million greenbacks. So come on. See, this is what I'm talking about. It's not that I side with Sharp. It's just this is like, it looks like a clear play for cash. 25K for each sheet. Better be some big, beautiful cheeks. So the complaint emphasizes consent, stating a woman can say yes to a consensual sexual relations with a man 99 times, but when she says no even once, the no means no. That is true. Nobody's arguing with that. The lawsuit says that Sharp refused or failed to respect those boundaries. So there's mixed sentiments. Obviously, women are going to cater or fall in line with her. Men are going to fall in line with Sharp. Me, honestly, people, my instinct is to fall in line with Sharp. But I'll be the first to tell you, let's let the evidence fall where it may. I mean, I've been joking about this because to me it's just too unbelievable. But let's be honest, if it is true, I'll be the first one to go, oh my God, I was wrong. But my problem is all the lives this Me Too movement has destroyed without any proof. I just saw Redemption Leverage or Leverage Redemption, you know, one of the shows where they fired Timothy Hutton because a woman said something about him. So they fired him. Boom. I'm not going to watch that show. Screw that show. And I like some of the actors there, but screw them all. You know, what they did to the Conners when it was called the Roseanne Barr Show, you know, not a different situation, but, you know, this leftist movement, the cancel people, destroy them. No. So because of that, I do have shades of skepticism when I see these cases come up now with no proof being shown. And let's see the full tape of that. Well, not me, but let the courts force her to share the full tape. Because you can splice anything up. I can take this video after it's done and splice it up to sound like a saint or to sound like the spawn of the devil. The spawn of Tony Busby. I mean, Beelzebub. So most people are correct to question the timing and motives behind the lawsuit. What gets me is the power dynamics of the age. That's not power dynamics. That's a woman with daddy issues, a woman who saw that Shannon Sharp a star. So, you know, I don't care about the age as much as, like, bro, come on. You know, but at the end of the day, that's just preference. But I guarantee you, a 54-year-old man, a 20-year-old woman wants you and you're single, you're going to jump on that. Faster than. Oh man, I was gonna say. Yeah, what I was thinking is like, you know, if a 20-year-old woman jumps all over a man who's 54 years old, I mean, that man's gonna jump on that 20-year-old woman faster than Lila would have jumped on a cheeseburger before she lost all her weight. That's just an ugly truth. You know, but on that said, there's a trend. There's a big trend of younger women seeking out older men because they want a man, not a boy. And today's kids, man, I guess it's hard to be seen as a man living in mama's basement. But regardless, I will keep you in the loop on this fast-breaking story. Shannon Sharp, guilty or not, as the cheeks bounce. William Delbilar will bring you the next chapter. When it jiggles. All right, let's move on. Stephen A. Smith's presidential ambitions and Chuck Barkley stating, hold your horses, you ain't got my vote. So Stephen A. Smith, you know, he just signed a $100 million contract himself. He's talking, he's lying to you, talking about a 2028 presidential run. You know, he says he's being encouraged by influential figures, including billionaires. He ain't being encouraged. There ain't no billionaire encouraging him. That's my take. You know, NBA legend Charles Barkley, who's a friend of his and colleague, has publicly dismissed ideas. A joke, he's right. It's about Stephen A. Smith is no different than any other camera hog wanting to be in the news, wanting to be relevant. You know, he tries to portray himself as a moderate, but my friends, let me tell you, he's like Joe Manchin or John Fetterman. They talk a good game, but when it comes time to vote, cha-ching, Democrat all the way. You know, he knew everything that was happening with Kamala. He knew it all. You know. But at the end of the day, he voted Kamala. He claims he has no choice. Now you have a choice, brother. But to consider a presidential run due to approaches from elected officials, pundits, billionaires, and even his pastor. Sure, okay. Okay. What irks me are these people who are giving him serious time. I mean, he's easily defeatable in a debate. He's a train wreck when it comes to his stances and positions. And he is, you have the charismatic white version called Gavin Newsom, the charismatic black version called Stephen A. Smith, who are just throwing lie after lie after lie out in terms of how they're trying to portray themselves as moderate. He calls himself a potential unifier. No, he's not. That man's as racist, as a bigot as can be from the Democrat side when it suits him. Then he pretends he never said that crap when he tries to play middle of the road. Same thing with Gavin Newsom. Oh, Latinx? Man, who would dare say that word? We never use it in my administration. Then it was like, boom, all the data and information and proof that came out how they use Latinx. Or transgenders? Oh, man, that's just not fair, not fair. Then, boom, all the information that came out of Gavin Newsom supporting and pushing and promoting and signing the law of transgender crap. Stephen A. Smith is the same thing. And he's trying to play, I don't want to do it. I don't want to enter politics. Bro, you're not going to enter politics. You just want the attention. You can't. You're a camera hog. He says the Democrat Party has failed to connect with voters. Well, you know what, Stephen? You knew that before you voted for Kamala and still voted for Kamala. He expressed mixed feelings about Trump. Well, because he wants to keep his base of the hate with the leftists, you know. But he wants to tease the right enough to go, I like this guy. But we don't, Stephen. We know who and what you are. The feasibility of his candidacy is very low. It's just not there. Smith's history of engaging in race-baiting commentary is cited not as a potential liability, but as one of the biggest liabilities he has. And it contradicts his self-proclaiming role as a unifier. Now, Steve Bannon came out and endorsed Smith as a celebrity candidate who could have a shot. Why? He wants to split up the vote. He wants to create chaos. You know, but all this is Smith just drawing attention to himself. A Cassie poll gives Smith a 6% chance of winning the 2028 Democratic primary, tying in with Kamala Harris and AOC. Tells you how bad the Democrat Party is right now. Charles Barkley, he was on Sports Illustrated with Jimmy Trania, and he urges Smith, quote, calm down, unquote, and, quote, knock it off, unquote. And he goes, dude, you're embarrassing yourself. You're a joke. We know you're a joke. Everybody knows you're a joke. They're all just playing along. It's like the Emperor with no clothes. Everybody's laughing at you without you realizing it. So Barkley himself loves another idiot, Governor Westmore. I mean, Maryland, I'm sorry. Your state's a bleep hole. It's always been a bleep hole. I have sisters that lived there for decades. You know, it's a bleep hole. Why? Because you guys have been democratically run, Baltimore specifically, and you've been one bleep hole after another, every cycle. You ain't keep voting them in. You're not going to stop being a bleep hole until you get them out, vote them out, and get some real leadership in there. I love Baltimore. Oh, my God, those crackheads are to die for. The friends I have over there, I love them to death. The people, I love them to death. Boy, but that management style by the Democrat Party, oh, my God, what, like three mayors have gone to jail? Kind of reminds me of Detroit. Barkley voted to support Kamala Harris, too, so it's not like Barkley's the sharpest tool in the shed. So what we have here is a clash of ambition versus reality. I'm kidding. It's not even ambition versus reality. He's just throwing on the show. He is not going to sit there and run. He just wants some clicks. But I will keep you in the loop. Stephen A. Smith. He goes where the wind blows. All right. Here's a story that just won't die. Now the U.S. Justice Department is suing Maine over transgender athlete in girl sports. Translation, the U.S. Justice is suing Maine because they keep allowing boys to play in girl sports. I mean, look, let's not forget Leah Thomas of Pennsylvania. I mean, Will was still sporting a dong. That's why he's Will, not Leah. And allowed to compete as a woman, shattering all these records. It was ranked like 456 in the men as a man. And word on the street is in the locker room, he was like whoosh, 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 whoosh as he walked, letting it all hang. He's still a man. I don't know if he's transitioned. And on a side note, he was, I can't compete in the Olympics against the girls. Thank God somebody had sense. Anyway, Pam Bondi has filed a lawsuit against Maine for allowing boys to play in girls' sports, stating it violates Title IX and it's in defiance of Trump's executive order. You know, it's like, let them do what they want, but just cut every dime back. And, you know, these courts that keep saying you got to give them money, I wouldn't. I go to the courts, we respect your decision, and we will give them the money once every other court hears this. These courts have just gone crazy. You know, it's supposed to be equal branches of government, but the courts are pretty much an unelected judge, jury, and executioner. We need to throw some of these judges in jail for an abuse of what their duties are. I've seen courts like this in Brazil, Panama, all over Central and South America. Corrupt. Damn conflicts of interest. That Judge Boyner, Berger, whatever his name is. You know, his daughter works for the nonprofits that specifically profits off of illegal aliens. And he won't recuse himself. That's how you impeach him, then throw him in jail for criminal act of abuse of the power. And then you do the same thing for Judge Mercantile who did it. We have to have judges that are fair and balanced and follow the Constitution, not their activism and not following their daughters to protect their business interests. Like this judge, what's this judge called? Where's my notes? Judge Boysberg, him and his daughter, corrupt piece of garbage, trash, scum. The day he begins his next journey, he's going to be like, damn, it's warm here. It's a bad, vile, evil person. Anyway, I digress. So she announced it at a press conference, so they're serious about this. They are serious about this and good for them. We need to push back. So what are some of the details? The lawsuit seeks an injunction to prevent boys from competing in girls' sports and demands that titles be returned to the girls who rightfully won them. And they, you know, it's like only a feminazi can support a boy playing in girls' sports. But that's what's happened. The whole Democrat Party think that's okay. Maine is discriminating, in my opinion, against female athletes by allowing boys to play. And that's what Justice Department accuses them of. The lawsuit does cite specific instances such as transgender athlete winning a girls' pole vault competition in February. I mean, he just destroyed the female competition. In response, Maine has launched its own lawsuit. You know, at the end of the day, you know, our Supreme Court needs to get its head on properly. That Amy Comey Barrett, she's a disgusting disgrace. It's obvious she doesn't like Trump. And it's like, who is vetting these people? And then they even censured state representative Laurel Libby. Maine did. The Maine Democrats did. Why? Because she sat there and brought the attention of this boy winning. You can't be talking about that. You can't be talking about truth here. Truth's not allowed here in Maine. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. We will censure you and not allow you to vote in any of the issues that your people elected you for. Politicians said they're disgusting. So Libby expressed gratification at the DOJ's intervention. Libby, again, being the politician who was censored by the Maine legislature because she dared speak the truth. She's happy this is happening. I tell you. It's this serious stuff. This serious stuff. Leah Thomas, transgender swimmer. Will Thomas, why? Because Will is still sporting or was still sporting a dong at the time he won the women's 500 freestyle title. Then there's transgender golfer Haley Davidson. I mean, look at that drive. Freaking 50 yards farther than the average woman. Tee-hee, I'm just a girl. Boom. There's even golf frisbee, ultimate frisbee. You know, you go, boom. You don't think about it, but that man has a lot more power. You're like, bam, look at that float out 50 yards farther than the next person. And let's not forget, this is professional sports, but in the world championship of pool, billiards that is, in the women's category, two men competed for the championship. And it's deadly. In 2023, a high school girls' volleyball match in North Carolina gained attention when a man did a powerful spike and injured a female opponent. Knocked her out. Boom. concussion, brain damage. Her life has never been the same. Tee-hee, I'm just a girl. Oh, it's just sickening, sickening. The Maine lawsuit focuses on protecting these female athletes, whereas Maine wants to corrupt the sport. Why? I don't know. This is like a 80-90-20, 90-10 division in the country, meaning they don't want boys and girls sports. Anyway, let us move on. Let's move on here to Nico Iamaleava. I apologize, Nico. Iamaleava. There you go. So Nico Iamaleava, Nico moving forward, has transferred from Tennessee to UCLA. I talked about this last week. It was a nightmare scenario for him. You know, he transferred from Tennessee to UCLA, announced it last week. It sent shockwaves. And this was obviously driven by NIL, name, image, and likeness negotiations. And this was brought about by greed. His family, his agent, they played their card and it did not work. You know, they called the bluff, or I'm sorry, Tennessee called their bluff. And then he lied going out the door, said, well, you know, it was about the offense, the support, the offensive line, the playbook, you know, and I want to go back to the West Coast, you know. Bull duty. He was asking for $4 million. His contract was about $2.2 million. It's over 4 years. No. This was yearly. He faces a quarterback competition at UCLA. He transferred to UCLA. I don't think he's going to face quarterback competition. He was a starter in Tennessee. He was not going to UCLA to fight for a job. He's probably been promised a job, but they told him, yeah, we'll sit there and say it's competition, but it's not. But they have a quarterback there named Joey Aguilar, who they brought in from Appalachian State. So he's going to move around. They have like 9 quarterbacks. So Tennessee themselves are scrambling to replace their starter. So he discussed the move with Deshaun Foster, the head coach, and he says, I need a fresh start. I want to be closer to home, blah, 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 coach speak. And this is what Nico said, quote, this decision was incredibly difficult and truthfully not something I expected to make this soon, but I trust God's timing and I believe he's leading me where I need to be. A new chapter has begun and I am committed to UCLA. Yeah, I believe that as much as I believe Lilo's weight loss is her own doing and not Ozempic or a derivative. So his departure stemmed from leaving Tennessee, just to rehash this, from a failed NIL renegotiation. His camp sought a $4 million deal for 2025. And Tennessee said, there's the door, brother. But then I said, again, walking out the door, his people said, there's offensive line and receiver problems. So we need to make sure we're going to see improvements. I'll go jump in L.A. Tennessee's offensive line ranked 9th in the SEC in pass and run blocking. It did allow pressures, but heck, he's got the legs to move out of it, and he's young. Some of those pressures weren't on him, but he created them by staying in the pocket too long. You know, so there's no validity to these concerns. And a former SEC scouting director called the offensive line problematic but defended the receivers. Well, that's one guy. My take from what I read, no. And even if it was, you will see he's not going to a better situation. So that's why it's a crock. So what are the financial implications? So Nico signed a 2022 deal with Spira Sports Group. It was worth over $8 million over 4 years, roughly $2 to $2.4 million annually. No state income in Tennessee. Federal taxes are about 25 to 30%, payroll taxes, deductions. He was earning about $1.7 million take-home per year. So his camp was pushing for a $4 million deal for 2025, and that was rejected. And that's why he said, I'm out of here. Me, if I'm that Spire Group, I hold him to it. If he's miserable, just bench him and then sue him for the money back. You know, so at UCLA, his deal is estimated at $900 to $1.5 million after taxes. And that's on a gross deal under $2 million. California, to top it off, has 13.3% state income tax. I'm sorry. So his net is going to be about $920,000. So he's going from a $1.7 million net per year to $920,000. Wow. That's about $800,000 on the table he's leaving. Almost a million. And it's about 70% higher to live in L.A. than it is Knoxville. So it's quite the move you made. Quite the negotiating. Who is your agent so I can stay away from him? This move is a significant financial downgrade. He played high-stakes poker and lost. So let's get to the fact of who he's going to play. So last season, UCLA's offense ranked 95th in yards. Their offensive coordinator's gone, Eric Bieniemy, who was a failure that year. They averaged 3.1 yards per rush, 128th, and allowed 34 sacks, 107th in the nation, exposing weaknesses in both the offensive line and running game. They also allowed 181 pressures compared to Tennessee's 113. You know, we're concerned about protecting Nico. Okay, so you're going to UCLA. And he's going to have a first-time play caller in Tino Sunseri. Maybe he's a next future Hall of Fame head coach, and this is his first step towards that. Who knows? But everybody's improving. So a Power Four general manager stated that he likely is leaving Tennessee because of NIL disputes in this campus, saying, hey, say it's because of the offensive deficiencies. He's fooling nobody. He should have just shut his trap and not said a damn word. But they have egos. UCLA, they're just not a good football team. Not a good football team. Receivers, they've added some receivers. But the receivers have a combined 79 career catches, the two that they brought in. So they haven't been proven. They have a transfer from Idaho for running back. Four offensive line were added via the portal. But here's the problem when you do that. Building chemistry in that position is a lot harder when you're bringing in fresh meat. It takes a while for these players to gel together. Then there's quarterback competition with Joey Aguilar. So remember, he's going to be, he's has approximately a $1.5 million deal. Well, so does Joey. And he's not going to sit there and be happy as a backup. And the boosters who are paying this, or the NIL group that's paying this, they're going to be like, we're paying $3 million for two starting quarterbacks once they're in the bench. So one of those, so Aguilar is probably gone. And I'm sure he'll wind up on a team that actually probably has a great opportunity for him. Because I got to be honest, outside of UCLA's name, I wouldn't want to be there. They're saying all the right things. Hey, we're going to compete. Joey wants to compete. He says we're going to compete. Yada, yada, yada. He's out of there. He's got a $1.5 million deal again. That will cause problems. He could stay until this summer, fight for the job, or negotiate a buyout to leave. And I think he'll negotiate a buyout to leave. I wouldn't trust Deshaun Foster's word to save my life. And that is the story of Nico. Nico Iamaleava. Damn, that's a tough one to pronounce. All right. There you have it. Those are some of the main stories that we've come across. Let's get down to it, though. The final whistle, which is one of my favorite spots, because I get to hit on a lot of stories that are happening. So, the final whistle number one, Lee Corso retires from ESPN's College Game Day. This August, he's going to pack it in. About time, loser. No, I'm kidding. Lee Corso, he's 90 years old, has had some health issues. He's retiring. He's leaving behind a legacy of mascot headgear picks. So he would put on the mascot headgear the team he thought would win. And that became a big-time event every week. I think he announced his retirement, obviously, earlier this year, 37 years, wow, God bless you, man, on College Game Day. He has health struggles, including a 2009 stroke that impaired his speech, limited recent appearances, the headgear ritual, donning mascot masks to predict game outcomes, over 400 picks, including his famous 1996 Florida State upset call over Ohio State. Quote, it's time, but it hurts, unquote. I hear Kirkstreet's dog is vying for the gig to replace him. So his health decline was stark in 2024. You can see he was declining fast. He's 90 years old. But, you know, during his time there, 12 Emmys. 12 Emmys. He had a very humorous guy. Yeah, believe it or not, he was not a great coach. but he was a great guy in the broadcast booth. God bless you, Lee. Much love, much success as you enjoy your final few years of living on this earthly plane before you begin your next journey. I hope you're able to enjoy retirement as much as you enjoyed being on the job. Final whistle number two, Aaron Rodgers addresses his future and criticizes the Jets' handling of his release. Look, Aaron Rodgers, he's very, very polarizing. But in this case, he's right. He flew all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast to meet with Aaron Glenn, new head coach. And they sat him down for about 15 minutes. They were going to move in a different direction. And my understanding is Aaron Glenn did not even stay for the full meeting. Now, this is Aaron Glenn. He of the great love. Look what he did in Detroit. You know what I saw somebody? I saw a defense that collapsed two straight seasons. That did not make it to the big dance. That was upset. That couldn't stop a rookie. So don't give me all this Aaron Glenn love. Stop it. And two, New York Jets, that's where quarterbacks and head coaches go to die. So I wouldn't be smiling and being so arrogant, Mr. Glenn. No, it's not that I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I'm not. You know, outside of him sticking up for himself with COVID, he even tried to play that, walking the fine line with that. But that said, you know, Rodgers did suggest that Glenn feared he'd override his authority. Well, you think? That's kind of what you did with Robert Saleh at times. Yeah. So, you know, Rodgers is no innocent person here. Now, he was mistreated by Glenn, new regime. They didn't want nothing to do with him. Hey, that's their call. But they should have had the respect to go, hey, Aaron, we don't want you to fly out here. Yeah, we do need to talk. And, yeah, we think we're going to move on. But we want to sit down and talk, tell you why, see what your options are, you know, hear why you want to stay, if we should consider it, yada, yada, yada. They didn't do none of that. You know, it's no surprise you've seen Anderson push back. She's never been a fan of Rodgers. So, the Athletic notes that Jets saw Rodgers 41 as a mismatch for their youth-driven rebuild. I see that. I get that. I just don't see the Jets as anything but a loser organization. So, if I was Glenn, I would never have taken that gig. So, Glenn's scorching critique of the Jets as, quote, pathetic, unquote, leaves his future wide open. He still hasn't said where he's going and what he wants to do. But he did say he's at a point in his life where football is not the main thing that he's doing other things. And he's right, at 40, you know, there's other precedent in his life with family, friends, how he views life, you know, but he still has the itch to play one more season. I'll be honest, there's only one team he can play for, and that is the Minnesota Vikings. He plays for the Vikings, I'm instantly ratcheting them up as Super Bowl favorites. Really, I am. With him and Kevin O'Connell, I see it. I think the Vikings are idiots not to jump on this opportunity. Period. Final whistle number three, Baylor men's basketball faces unprecedented roster crisis. Get to the bottom line here. All 12 players from Baylor's 2024-25 roster are gone. 8 entered the transfer portal and 4 declared for the 2025 NBA draft after one season, including freshman Jacoby Walter. The transfer portal is what's doing this. All these players who are still there are transferring out. Leaves the team with nothing. Nothing. NIL is a green machine. It has gutted mid-tier programs, and that came from Outkick mid-tier programs. I agree with Outkick, it has. So Coach Scott Drew says they led Baylor to the 2021 NCAA title. I don't know about that. Hold on 1 second. Let me double-check mine. I'll be damned. Are these seasons meshed together? Yeah, 2021 NCAA champs. Wow, what a fall. So social media, they're all over the place. One calling NIL the death of Teen Spirit, while others blame Drew for not securing bigger donors. Look, he has no control over that, you morons. And second, you're right. Don't be fans of players. They're not fans of your school. They're fans of the almighty dollar, period. So what this shows me is how bad NIL is destroying college. This is nothing but NIL greed. And hey, you can't blame the players, but make no bones about it. It's greed. And the NCAA needs to step in and figure out some kind of system. Take number 4, NCAA Women's Championship ratings drop in 2025. Okay, this story here is about 3 weeks old, but I kept putting it off, so I want to talk about it here real quick. The Caitlin Clark effect. Look, The final championship game of the NCAA between UConn and South Carolina drew a paltry 8.6 million. That was down 55% from 2024's 18.9 million for the Iowa South Carolina game. No Caitlin Clark, no viewers. Hey, and look, they had Paige Buecher, supposedly the next hot thing. I got to be honest. I don't care about WNBA now that Clark is talking sheer stupidity with white privilege. She's ruined WNBA. And I tried watching it last year. It's like, oh, my God. It was terrible, horrific. It was just terrible, ugly basketball. And they still lost over $40 million last year despite all the Caitlin Clark effect because they're getting ready to go on strike because they want more pay. Now, if I'm an owner, I'm saying no. No, we're not paying or I'm going to take you to court, NBA, suing you for my share of that money back. Women's basketball is set to crash and burn starting this year. But regardless, 2025 ratings crash without Caitlin Clark. It's not a wake-up call for women's hoops. It's just a reality check for women's hoops. Nobody wants you. Nobody cares to watch you. It is what it is. Ugly basketball. And I'm sorry if I sound cruel, but I'm just calling it like I see it. Whistle number five, Dukes, come on, Malugu Ott. Faces deportation concerns. I apologize if I chopped that up. Malua. Anyway, he's a freshman, 7'2", South Sudanese phenom. He's caught in the nightmare Trump's tightened immigration policies. So this is where I disagree. I am 1,000% for Trump's immigration policies. But there's certain cases you have to look at and go, okay, we need to make a tweak here. The problem is when you make these tweaks, the bad actors always abuse it. So, hey, isn't college supposed to be about education? Wink, yeah, William, wink. So we don't know what's going to happen, but he's here under an F-1 visa. An F-1 visa is a non-immigrant student visa. It allows international students like this guy, Maluak, to study and participate in activities like NCAA sports. He could be blowing Fs. They're going to give him Cs. You know, they don't care about him in education. They just want to play basketball. So that's a disgrace unto itself. I hope the kid's at least getting an education. So there's no specific issues at this point. They're reviewing everything, but Trump's orders are clear. It's going to come to a head here sooner than later. So I just want to get this out ahead and say we'll keep an eye on this story. But there is a big burden here that he has on his mind. I mean, the bottom line is if he leaves the country, he may not be able to get back in. Or he may just be down and out, kicked out. I don't know. But they're going to be working with immigration lawyers to try to secure his status. But there's no resolution affirmed. This may be beyond what they can do. We'll find out. Number six, LeBron James Production Company paid for political video. This one cracks me up. So LeBron James Productions Company pocketed $50,000 from the Harris campaign for a slanderous anti-Trump video. It stirred outrage over political meddling. And this isn't the first time he's done this. Past stunts like faking his book smarts or smearing a cop. Is it this guy's an idiot? Great basketball player, off court idiot. The guy's as smart as a freaking fly. He can dribble, but he can't think for himself. His handlers tell him what to think. They tell him, yeah, it's racist. It's racist Republicans, and that's the boat he jumps on because he just does not know how to critically think. Proof? Well, first of all, let's talk about his payment. He was paid $50,000 in late 2024 to produce a video for Kamala Harris's campaign. Now, everybody says, well, he wasn't paid. It was his production company that he owns that was paid. He was doing business for his company. Just stop with that nonsense. But here's why he's an idiot. In 2018, he tweeted a false claim that a Columbus cop shot a black teen because of his skin color. But body cam showed the proof. The teen wielded a knife going after the cop. Bam, bam, bam. Cop was in the right. Then in 2020, LeBron is like walking around. With a book. The new Jim Crow. Hey, LeBron, what's that book around? Come on. Is it a good book? You journey? Yeah, it's a pretty good book. Pretty good book. Well, tell us about it. He's trying to portray himself as an intellect reading. Staying up on the issues. The guy's dumb as a rock. Carrying a book around. I haven't looked at it or read it. Didn't have the ability to critically think, well, what if they asked me about it? Let me go online, do an executive or read a summary on the book at least. Guy's dumb as rock. So he's nothing but a bigot. He's a bigot when push comes to shove. Sorry, call it like I see it. He's divisive. He amplifies hate. Willing to smear people. There's no justice in what he's doing. It's injustice what he's doing to people. Abusing the power he has to influence. Disgrace of a human being. Hell, got the Lakers to draft his son. Not because his son's any good, just because he's LeBron's son. I mean, how pathetic is that? Oh, God, going from one bigot to another bigot. Steve Kerr's controversial Harvard anti-Semitism claim. You know, he's speaking. Steve Kerr, when he opens his mouth politically, he's a beyond an idiot. He's stupid. He said he defended Harvard's response to campus anti-Semitism, saying free speech means tough conversations, not punishment. Translation, I agree. They can be anti-Semitic. They are anti-Semites, and I support anti-Semitism on state time. Talk about tone deaf. Talk about bigotry. Talk about being anti-Semitic by supporting anti-Semitism. These people were intimidating. They were threatening violence. My proof, when the university goes, you need to stay in your dorms or in your apartments, and you're going to learn via online, Zoom, or whatnot. Why? Because we can't guarantee your protection if you come on campus. So that's what Steve Kerr supports. Intimidation, violence, hatred, anti-Semitism. He ignores the Jewish student safety concerns. 34% of Harvard undergrads, literally 100% Jewish, felt unsafe due to anti-Semitism. Thank you, Steve Kerr. Kerr is a bigot for cherry-picking causes. Why do I say cherry-picking? He's awfully silent when somebody brings up the over 1 million Muslims facing forced labor in China with China's Uyghur crisis that ironically makes NBA gear. Steve Kerr, what do you have to say about that? Idiot. Bigot. Kerr's Harvard take. And Uyghur dodges all the time expose his hypocrisy. It exposed his anti-Semitism. It exposes his pro-stance on slavery in China. Those are my take. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. Is it true? I believe it is. Based off the fact of what I just said, he won't speak on it. Is okay with NBA gear instead of condemning it and saying the NBA needs to go look to make their gear somewhere else. He won't say none of that. And then he's condemning anti-Semitism. He's condemning intimidation of Jewish kids. It's just too stupid. Free speech is free speech, but they transcend free speech. And he knows it. NASCAR's DEI efforts question amid a controversial image. So NASCAR, they pledged to scale back diversity, equity, and inclusion. DEI did not earn it. I mean, let us not forget Bubba Wallace's, oh my God, the racism he went through. You know what that racism was? Let me tell you what it was. You know, when you're at a garage or a light and the string's hanging that has a little circle at the end, you know, it's just like the rabbit, boom, you turn on the light or click it or pull it down and open up the garage door. Well, Bubba, too stupid to realize, no, Bubba, it's not a noose. Then again, maybe Bubba knew it wasn't a noose, but like, I got to get in on the Justy Smollett game here. So, Elite Image may or may not show that they just changed the DEI efforts. They just rebranded it as something else. And the NASCAR insider said, this is for Outkick, they're trying to please everyone. DEI for sponsors, back to basics for Red State fans. This isn't a split fan base. This is them trying to have their cake and eat it too. It's going to bite them in the butt. NASCAR, hypocrites. You know, it's like every time NASCAR looks like it's going to take another step forward, they take 5 steps back. It's like, who the hell is their PR guy? Who the hell is their business development guy? Some serious morons over there. I mean, this is nothing but a two-faced approach. The Pete sponsors. Bud Light. Stop playing both sides. Get rid of racism by getting rid of DEI. Do what's right. All right. The next final whistle, California's Democrats' stance on transgender athletes. There's a survey out there that says 50% of California Democrats oppose transgender athletes. In essence, they oppose boys playing in girls' sports. Again, this is not the hill to die on, but Democrats are choosing that and choosing illegal aliens who murder and rape women, American women, over American citizens. Why do I say this? Well, the voters see it. It's not just me. Democrat voters see fairness issues in all this. Well, don't vote Democrat and it'll change. 2013 law, when Newsom was around, allows boys to compete with girls. But there's only 22 trans athletes, William. 22 too many. And the final take of the night. The alleged woman beater, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, criticizes Trump's policies. Abdul-Jabbar has come out to be a full-blown racist bigot, hates Christians. He was complaining about Trump's DEI rollbacks. You know, he's complaining about Trump removing racism. You think he'd be happy about that, but he's not. He's not. He says Trump's policies are a dog whistle for discrimination. That's the biggest lie. Trump did more for blacks and Latinos and all Americans than Jabbar has. All I remember of Jabbar is him being accused of beating not only a women, but men too. He's just a violent person is what it boils down to, in my opinion. In 1998, his then partner Virginia Cardenas accused Abdul-Jabbar of domestic violence, leaving physical marks. And then I can't remember when. Here it is in my notes. I can't remember, but I think he may have been brought up in assault charges for attacking a man. But that may have been his son who got a slap on the wrist for stabbing a man. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in terms of violence within that family, does it? And it's not alleged. His son stabbed somebody. He was accused of female violence. This is an activist. Again, allegedly accused of domestic violence. Oh, man. We know who you are, Kareem. We know who you are. And, you know, he converted to Sunni Islam. Black power, racism. That's what black power there at the time meant. You know, hate whitey, kill whitey. That is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's background. In my opinion, he is everything that's wrong about trying to bring this country together. He is creating tribalism in this country. He's just an angry old man. I don't know why. Don't lecture us with your baggage, bro. And there you have it. That is tonight's points on the board. Like I tell you, I cut to the chase. I call it like I see it. I'll tell you when it's alleged. I'll tell you when it's documented. His son, for example, he was sentenced to 6 months for multiple stabs of an individual. Why? Because the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar name, California. Sentenced to 6 months in jail for stabbing a neighbor with a honey knife, his son. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree in terms of bad people. It just burns me up that how, you know, y'all talk about money and power. And I always tell people, it's money. It doesn't matter what your skin color is, what your culture is. You got some money, you're going to get off. Case in point, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, his son, that is. Hope you enjoyed the show. It was a tough show in terms of lots of happening out there politically and legally. You know, hey, I'll be honest. I think Shannon Sharpe, I'm in the Shannon Sharpe corner. I think he's innocent. I think it's a money grab. But, hey, if I'm proven wrong, I'll be the first to apologize. Stephen A. Smith is a clown talking about running for politics, and he knows it. Maine wanting boys to play against girls is disgusting. Title IX is supposed to protect women, not protect boys playing girls. And Nico Amalauva, bro, whoever your agent is, fire him. If it's your daddy, fire him. Going from a net of $1.7 million a year to a net of about $920,000, going to a place that's 70% cost of living versus 30% where you came from. Not the brightest cat. Not the brightest tool in the shed. And I hope you enjoy the final whistle. So before I leave you, do not forget, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. You can find this podcast at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. Until next week, I am William Del Pilar for Points on the Board.